All right, Baldy's ready to roll, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Baldy, good morning to you. I know you're ready to roll here. Football's in full swing, and we're heading into November, man, where the champs will separate themselves from the chumps, and the separation starting here in the NFL, although we had a wacky and wild Sunday. Let's start with the 49ers and Cowboys, though, Baldy, and I know you watched the game over, and I watched the breakdowns on Twitter, or on X, yeah. I should say. Let's start with Kyle Shanahan. There's been a lot made about him and his game plans and whether or not he's still or whatnot. I thought he had a really good game plan for the Dallas Cowboys, running the football, play action passes or whatnot. How would you assess Shanahan's performance Sunday as head coach of the 49ers and his offensive play calling?
I thought he was excellent. I thought he was really good. And I thought there would be a steady dose of runs. I mean, the Cowboys have now lost four games. And in those four losses, New Orleans, Baltimore, Detroit, and then San Francisco, they couldn't stop any of those teams from really running it. And to see, you know, the rookie Isaac Garendo, really, like, he's coming on. And you can see his speed, and he's starting to press the hole right now. And, you know, a lot of guys that are fast like that, they just want to use their speed. And they don't trust, you know, their vision as much. And he does that right now. And so that was a big difference. But, you know, look, the matchup with Kittle and Donovan Wilson for the big play, I thought they were excellent in the red zone. I thought all the way around, it was a solid, solid game plan.
You know, I want to get back to Garendo here because I'm watching Mason. I'm a big Mason fan, and it felt like maybe he was missing the wrong holes or maybe choosing the wrong spot to cut back. I'm not as sophisticated as him as a runner. I don't know the offense as well. But it just felt like since the shoulder injury, he wasn't running with the same ferocity finishing runs as he had weeks prior. And Garendo's gotten better and better every single week. Now, put Mason to the side here. What specifically did you see from Garendo that you think is sustainable going forward? Because he's got the juice.
Well, he's got, you know, he's got breakaway speed now. You saw that in the 76-yard run, I think, the week before. But, you know, he's got breakaway speed. I mean, he was the fastest back in the draft at 218 pounds. So, I mean, speed is – so they, you got that. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that have speed that don't know how to run. I mean, I just think he's – he's got really good feet. I don't know if he's as powerful as Mason is when he puts his head down and he steamrolls people the way you described, because that's how he was finishing those runs. But this guy is still a load, though. I mean, he's still big. And, you know, every running back has to kind of – like, I remember blocking for different backs, and, you know, some backs would – you knew where they were going, and some backs, you just couldn't figure out where they were going. And I feel like the dance that every back has to do with the offensive line, I think the rhythm is starting to come with him. And you saw that. You saw that against Dallas.
Yeah, you've been all over Isaac Garendo there with that top-end speed. Reminded a lot of us of Raheem Mostert with the number 31 with that top-end speed. Once he gets a crease, he's gone here. We're talking to Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. I got to ask you about George Kittle, man. I know he sent you the Zinni glasses. We had him on when you were in studio. And, you know, I think people were writing his demise, basically saying, you know, maybe this is last year of George Kittle. And I'm thinking to myself, John Lynch and company need to find a way to extend this guy. He's playing like one of the best tight ends in football. He's having a resurgence. He had 1,000 yards last year. And just a tone setter, Baldy. We think about tone setters. This guy's not looking to run out of bounds. He's looking to run right through your face. And in a pass game, he still is good with the football in his hands with the run after the catch. Kittle's having an all-pro season, Baldy.
Well, that 43-yard catch and run, he was matched up with the safety, Donovan Wilson. You know, I mean, he ran away from the whole defense right there. And so, you know, George told me when he was a rookie, his tight end coach told him coming out of Iowa that you should never get tackled one-on-one, never. And he has that mentality. Like, he's going to run somebody over. He's going to stay on his feet. He's not going to go out of bounds. He's going to draw a little bit of blood every time he hits somebody. Like, he is a tone setter. He is a, you know, and he's having one of his best seasons. Now, he finished really strong last year. But, you know, he is their red zone offense when it comes to passing right now and what he can do. And so I think he's got a lot of football left. His blocking was outstanding the other day, and it still is. And so he takes a great deal of pride in it. It's a big part of their running success right now. And so he's indispensable with this team.
Yeah, I'm looking at the two receivers, Debo and Pierce. Well, I know Debo was utilized in a variety of ways in this one, but like, hey, without Brandon Ayuk, hey, what are these wide receivers going to look like? I thought Pierce looked way better in this one, and maybe it was just because he was getting targeted. Made a really nice adjusted catch on that out play where Brock anticipated before he even broke. Such a great throw. And then Debo, they finally got him matched up on some linebackers out of the backfield. I thought Debo was awesome. I know he had the big touchdown called back, but without Brandon Ayuk for 1 week, what did it look like from these receivers?
It looked good. I mean, I think Pearsall can step into that role. I mean, he's not as polished, obviously, yet as what Ayuk has been, but he's a good route runner. He separates the out route you're talking about. He separates, and that's what you loved about him coming out of Florida, was his ability to just put the foot in the ground. I compared him and Ladd McConkey, like really, really similar between the two of them. McConkey leads the Chargers in receptions right now. And I feel like Pearsall could do a lot of the same things that McConkey's doing. I don't know if you had a chance to watch him yet.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great game last week. But like I thought they were both very similar. I thought Pearsall was a little stronger maybe than McConkey, but I thought they were very, very similar. And, you know, and I think that's what you're going to see as time goes on here with Pearsall.
Yeah, I see the vision with Pearsall here, and I think they can implement Jacob Cowing a little bit better. But we got to talk about the quarterback here. We've been talking to you for about 5 minutes now, Baldy, and I thought it was a tale of two halves. The first half, a little clucky at times. I did like the read, Debo Samuel, when he motioned about the backfield and he got matched up on Kendricks there. But Brock Purdy, how would you assess his first 8 games of the season as the Niners, or Niner fans, I should say, not the Niners. Niners know who they have. But a lot of fans are skeptical of Brock Purdy on whether or not he is the guy. So kind of break this game down for us, Baldy, because it felt like a tale of two halves for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little uneven. He's obviously missed some throws that we think he should make. You know, when he gets a clean pocket and his feet are set and he's sailing a ball here or there, he's a little bit behind some guys. And, you know, it's, you know, you throw 7 interceptions, you know, in the first, 8 games, that's never going to sit too well with anybody, even if they're not all your fault. But he hasn't been stick accurate the way I think we have seen him in the past. He's not, but he's still getting the ball down the field. He's still averaging, you know, way over 8.5 yards an attempt. And anybody that's at 8.5 or higher is, you know, you're getting good, whether it's, you know, catch and run, or whether it's deep throws, whatever it is. I mean, you're getting explosive plays in the offense. And they're still getting a lot of explosive plays in the offense out of the passing game right now. And that's part of, you know, and, you know, it's not like in Philadelphia, they don't really throw the ball over the middle of the field, but he's asked to throw the ball over the middle of the field a lot. And those are, to a lot of people, those are kind of dangerous throws, especially if you're not Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, Joe Burrow, you're 6'5", and you're looking over the defense. You're a little challenged like he is. I think that, you know, I think he can play better, and I think he can be more consistent. And so, you know, that's what I would look for in the second half. Now, I remember last year at this time they had lost 3 in a row,
yep.
And, you know, before the bye. And then they came out of the bye, and they looked like a completely focused team. And, they'll be in Tampa next week. I'm going to be there announcing that game. I'm looking forward to it. But he's going to see a defense that's going to blitz him a lot, and different type of blitzes. Blitzes you don't normally see. A lot of combination blitzes, safety, linebacker, slot defender, safety. Like, you see a lot of combination pressures. And so I want to see how they kind of pick those up and how he handles that.
I'm looking at these two young safeties, Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown, and I thought they played really well. I know there were some missed tackles, and they're coming flying in trying to make huge plays. Look, Bob Sanders is one of the great players of all time, but like in terms of a small guy who is just going to run through someone's soul, Malik Mustafa squares guys up. It reminds me of shades of a guy like Bob Sanders. That's not who I'm saying that he is, because that's an unfair comp, but this guy's a ball player. And then Jair Brown seems to be really coming into his own. How did you think the two young safeties played in tandem in this game?
I thought they played great. I mean, you know, Tig gets the interception. You know, they're taking a ball away. You know, Mustafa reminds me of Buda Baker. Like, you know, Buda is just a cobra. Like, yeah. The way that he just comes full speed at you. Like, there's just no hesitation. That's how Malik is. I remember when Tig was coming out of Penn State. By the way, Penn State, Ohio State this week.
I know, Baldy. I know. Happy Valley.
You know, but, you know, I remember when I was doing some breakdowns of Jair coming out of Penn State, his head coach hit me up. And, you know, because he was, I want my safeties to take the ball away. And that's what he did at Penn State. You know, between interceptions and fumble recoveries, he was a ball machine. And you can't get enough of those type of guys on the field. And so, you know, it was good. You know, he had good range on that interception. And so I feel like the more he plays, the more he sees, the more angles, the better angles he's going to take. And I think he's going to start timing things up to take the ball away at a better rate right now, especially after that last game.
Yeah, but I'm a little ticked off about that Ohio State game. 9 a.m, man, it's too early for a game like that, man. That needs to be prime time, under lights, black, wide out for Penn State with those unis. Right, 9 a.m, man, it's too much intensity for 9 a.m, man. Anyway.
Hey, don't get those college coaches started on that. They've been kind of bitching about that all week right now, those noon kickoffs.
Yeah, those noon kickoffs too much, man. Too early, man. It's just, we'll be up for it, but it's like, damn, you can't give me a 12:30 kick anyway. Back to the Niners, and I got to give this guy more credit. Nick Bosa, in these primetime games, the last three games, we beg for him to step up. And I think Nick Bosa has stepped up in a major, major way. He's been a one-man wrecking crew in that defensive line, whether it's getting pressure on the quarterback, whether it's him in a run game. I thought Nick Bosa has been exceptional these last 3 weeks, Baldy.
Well, I do too. He has he's got this conservation of movement. He doesn't do anything extraneous. And he's mixing things up. He's been excellent in the run game. But he's just, you know, his ability to still turn the corner, stay on his feet right now, it's as good as it's ever been. His pursuit of the ball is as good as it's ever been. He's affecting these throws. Like, you know, the interception, you know, he kisses Dak Prescott. I mean, he's got his head right in his chest when he's trying to throw that football right there. I mean, he had a big part of that. He's playing great. He's playing really, really well right now. And so Ukwuamu played really well. I thought Malik Collins, I think Givens has given him good snaps. So, you know, that's going to be a big part of the second half push is, you know, what kind of depth do they have in the defensive line? Does Nick have to play more snaps than you want him to if you're trying to get to the postseason? It's just one of those factors right now.
If you had to add a piece to the Niners team, Baldy, would it be a D-tackle, D-in, or would it be another wide receiver?
I would go defensive line. You know, maybe a guy that, remember, like when they had like Arden here, you know, like I thought Arden Key was a really good,
yeah.
Arden Key.
Yep.
I thought a guy that could be versatile, rush inside and outside like that. He's gone on and he's had himself a really good, you know, career after he left. But I thought a guy like Arden Key, that type of a player, maybe not a starter someplace, maybe a rotational player. Like I'd be combing teams right now. They're not giving those guys away. They cost, you know, they cost some collateral. Some draft capital, but I'd be looking to add depth to the defensive line right now.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like their secondary is really young, but man, watching D'Amino Lenore make play after play, I mean, that guy's just an absolute...
unbelievable.
He's a great player.
He's a fantastic player, man. Player.
The way he contorted his body on that interception and to land inbounds, I love watching him play. But, Baldy, I don't even want to ask you about the secondary. You were at the Washington game against the Chicago Bears,
oh,
correct?
Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, so I watched that whole game. Jaden Daniels, so impressive for a variety of reasons. I was actually impressed with the Bears' defense at times. But at the end of that game, and we were talking about sports karma, Bonte and I, we're going to get into it in a little bit here. But I see a lot of kids, they get to second base now, and they want to do the celebrating or whatever, and they take their foot off the bag, they get tagged. You know what I mean? Premature celebration. I have never in my life seen what that safety was doing, number 29, for the Bears. And then all the videos that everyone's posting right now. I mean, hey, walk us through the whole thing. You're there, you're at the game, and then just you finding out the angle, the video of him with his back to the play. Like, there's just so many elements of it. Just go at it, man.
Yeah, well, that was Tyreek Stevenson, who's a starting corner. He's a good player. Really good player. Look, they did it right. I mean, the key, honestly, was Jaden, because they threw a pass before that with 6 seconds to go, and he hit Terry McLaurin for 13 yards. That got him to the 48-yard line. So now he's at the 48. And now he has, you know, he's got a chance to reach the end zone, right? You got to get the ball into the end zone. If you're doing it from 65 yards away, that might be a little hard to get to the end zone. But he held the ball for 12 and a half seconds. And his eyes were down the field, but he needed to get his receivers the time to get down the field. So he's got his eyes up the whole time. It's an instinct. He's eluding the rush of Jacob Martin, you know, a couple different, DeMarcus Walker, a couple different guys. And then he launches it. And, you know, Stevenson, I think, was going to bat it down. And in the midair, he got hit by all the other bodies that were in the air. And the ball ended up getting tipped back to Noah Brown. But, you know, I was talking to Jaden Daniels before the game. He came over and he was just like, I was just checking in. Because it was really questionable whether he was going to play with these ribs. And I just asked him, like, you know, there was never in doubt, right, Jaden? He goes, never, Baldy. I go, did you get enough work in this week? I got enough to be sharp today. The guy ran a no-huddle offense the whole game. He called every single play at the line of scrimmage. All right? And that's against a defense that came into the game, number one in the NFL, with opposing quarterback rating. And he called the entire game at the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
He called out to Mike every play. The play, you know, came in from Cliff Kingsbury. They didn't huddle up one time the whole day. The kid has unbelievable poise.
You know, the Hail Mary play where you said Chicago did everything right. I saw a breakdown the week before Detroit against Minnesota. Minnesota was attempting to Hail Mary down. And Detroit said, to hell with it. We're rushing five. We're going to put pressure on you so you can get the ball out quick. So is that going to be a new trend in the NFL? These Hail Marys said, instead of dropping back 7 and 8 and giving the quarterbacks all the time in the world to just throw it up and something fluky happens, maybe we just rush 5 or 6, blitz the hell out of them, make them get the ball out their hands quick. What would you prefer?
I want more rush. Like, T.J. Edwards is there, but he's just fine. Well, Jay Daniels not running 52 yards.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, give me 4 or 5 rushes. Plus, I'm taking my tallest, most athletic player, and I'm basically guarding the rim. Like, if I had Julius Peppers, if I had Montez Sweat, like, I'm putting a guy 6'6" or taller, and I'm putting him at center field, and when the ball's in the air, I'm going to be a big, strong guy that can jump, and I'm going to have him bat the ball down. Like, I'm going to have him spike it. Like, I'm not playing with defensive backs back there. Like, what's the point of putting a 5'9" defensive back in the end zone? Like, they're just going to get, you know, Alan Lazard caught the Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers.
For the Jets.
He's 6'5".
Yep.
Like, you know, I'm going to need guys that are, I want a frontline basketball player in the end zone right now. And I want a 5-man rush.
How does the guy, Stevenson, I mean, how do you, if you're a teammate of his, like, looking through the film and everything, I mean, how do you address
this? Well, here's what happened, Joe. So the Bears, they had an unbelievable fan base there. Like, they must have had 15,000 Bear fans there. So they just scored the go-ahead touchdown, right? So the Bear fans are making all the noise. So they're, like, lining the rim of the stadium. And after they scored, some Commander fans started to leave. So he's, like, look, I'm not absolving him here. But he's playing to the Chicago Bears fans. That it feels like my fans are here. I'm going to let them know. We're going to knock this down. We're going to win the game. So it looks terrible what they said. But I was in there, you know, I was on the field 2.5 hours before kickoff. It was all Bear fans.
Wow.
Like, they came and they traveled. And I was like, literally, there must have been 15,000. Now, they got drowned out because the game was so exciting and Jaden was so good. And, you know, they made, you know, so whatever. But, it was, that's all I think the kid was doing. I don't want to kill the kid, but I'll be honest with you.
Real quick, 30 seconds or less. Charvarius Ward, we got a question from a fan. A lot of people have questions about Charvarius Ward. What have you seen on him on film recently? Is he still banged up? Baldy, we got about 30 seconds. What's your thoughts on Moody Ward?
I mean, he's a highly competitive kid. Like, you want that guy on, you know, against your best receiver. Let him match up. He's going to get a week to rest up. You know, everybody should come back. George, Debo. I still don't know how Debo got off. You know, the pneumonia bed on Monday and played like he'd started a game, played like he did. But I think I want Charvarius in my secondary. Renardo's coming on. Like, he made a good stick on the fumble there going into the end zone.
Yep.
I like the way that they're playing. I like the aggressiveness. You're going to have to challenge these receivers the second half of the season.
No doubt. It should be a lot of fun. Baldy, where are you at this weekend?
I'm in Philly. Jacksonville and Philly this weekend.
Oh, the Jacks. Oh, man. Yeah. Philly quietly are playing some good football. They're coming along here. Baldy, we'll talk to you next Tuesday, brother. Keep up the great work. Okay.
Yep. Thanks, guys. See you, buddy. Next week.
Anytime. Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands Gaslight. Don't forget, he was also brought to you by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations.